Mark St. John?
Yeah, that's why he's not just, he died of bone cancer.
No, well, I don't think he's dead, though. That's the thing. Somebody said, here's the thing. Spending so much time in something like four people in the audience even know about. But there was this, as I said, there was this guy, Mark St. John, who played on one Kiss album. Never even got to tour because he got stricken with some disease that just made his arm puff up like a Christmas ham. And I don't think he got bone because I got an email today. Rick thought you should know Mark St. John of Kiss is dead. It seems like they would not be announcing that to me today if it was in fact a thing that happened like 18 years ago.
Well, the inverse parallel of these don't end there. He now lives in the Tri-City.
Who? Your friend or Mark St. John?
My friend that's a nut about kids. Right. I'm going to send him an email.
Okay.
And he'll get to the bottom of this. He'll know for certain.
Thank you, sir.
He'll know where he's buried.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, John.
You bet. Talk to you.
All right. Done talking about that until something definitive comes in. It's 503-733-2970. Time slipping away. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your two cents, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com if you'd like to engage with us in a binary fashion. rick@rickemerson.com. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up on today's program. Ow, I'm being slashed to death by a guy in a Freddy Krueger glove. Also this. Ow, my head's been cut off. Oh, now it's being rolled down a hill. Also this. Ow, quit sticking those scissors in my neck. Ow, don't give me that atomic wedgie. Also Lisa Goddard. Jim Roop will be saying, ow, please don't send me to American Idol. Too late. So he was an American Idol. Jim Roop was an American Idol, which they have now succeeded in sort of making me care about. Not enough to watch it, you understand. In no way that will they make me care about it that much. I do care about the fact that this guy, this Sanjaya guy, this really tells you more about me than about anything else. I don't even need to go to my shrink anymore. I can just sit here and talk about Sanjaya Malakar.
Lucky us.
Or whatever his name is. You should appreciate the new happier Rick. Haven't I been happier recently?
Yes.
Sure.
There was sort of that look. You don't mean it. There was sort of that low. There was sort of that low point. You
what
know,
was that low grade mental breakdown.
About December, January or so.
It wasn't really noticeable.
No, that was
that's kind of you to say.
I think that was a dark time for the Rick Emerson show.
Yeah, it was a stressful period of time. I'm just saying I feel better now. But maybe this tells you more about me than it does about anything else. That I just love this Sanjaya guy just because he makes people so angry. I mean, people just hate Scotty right now. Scotty is typing all of these angry comments on the screen. Well, fantastic. So Jim Roop was there. I love this paper from CNN. It's a nice, crisp, rattling sound. Jim Roop was there watching American Idol.
No, that's not CNN paper. That's CBS paper.
You know what I'm saying. It's the CNN prep sheet seems to have a special little snap to it. I don't know. You know, the extra snap is knowledge. That's the secret ingredient in this paper. Let's see. Brian Blank is going to talk to us. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard about Barack Obama, I'm really doing my best to keep my giddiness about the presidential election in 2008 in. I'm trying to keep it all inside because my enthusiasm already about the 2008 presidential election is like a big thing of silly string. And if I just, it's like snakes in a can, you know, and if I just take the lid off a little too soon, it's just going to go everywhere and then we'll never get it back inside. So we'll talk to Lisa Goddard a bit about that. What else? Well, that's it. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon. Why, hello there.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. My parents are in town. So keep reminding me of that if I start to say something embarrassing.
Are they listening?
I think they are.
Oh, I'm going through my head right now looking for something horrible you've said on the air.
Oh, no, no,
wait,
no.
Wait, what? Scotty? What if, do we have anything from, wait, hold.
I should not have told you.
No, it's fine.
It was a mistake.
You did the right thing, Sarah.
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
You did exactly the right thing
We were a lesbian couple.
Fantastic.
Super.
Your parents are here, you say?
Yeah, they're. I don't want to spend the whole night fucking.
Your parents are in Portland? Sarah? Portland, Maine.
Yes. I want to get laid tonight. That's out of context.
Hello.
That is out of context, Mom. It's a lie.
A whore than a patty cake.
Man,
It'll be the best day ever. 503, are they going to come in and visit us?
I think they are.
Mother and father.
HR
Dylan. Well, I met your dad before. I met your mom before, too,
you
actually.
You met my...
And your uncle?
My uncle who passed this past year.
Yeah, that we met them when we were over at Intercom. So they'll be joining us later on today. Fantastic. Are you guys all going out to a family dinner later on the night?
We are.
Anybody else going to be at that dinner?
No.
It's going to be you and your family. Anybody else who's currently close to you going to be at that dinner?
No.
I don't mean me, by the way. Really?
Really.
Are you not taking your gentleman friend at the dinner with your parents?
He's working. Uh-huh. Plus, I don't know if it's like the whole, if it's time for the whole dinner.
Soon.
Yeah, I mean, I met his dad yesterday, actually.
So you've met his dad?
Yeah.
But he doesn't get to meet your dad?
Well, he met them briefly when he picked up my sister from the airport to drive her down to Albany for my grandmother's funeral.
Scotty says he wants to go to dinner, too. Yeah.
I'll take Scotty.
You should totally take Scotty and introduce him as your boyfriend. This is the man I've been dating. Just as a way, so Sarah Dillon's parents get punked. Hey, this is my boyfriend. Fantastic. All right.
I don't think my parents, my dad, you know, they lived here a long time ago, and the only place they want to eat, you know where they want to go? They want to go to Claim Jumpers.
Really?
You want to come?
No, I don't. No.
They either want to go to Claim Jumpers or Claim Jumpers, I don't know, or Sailors.
I don't know what Sailors is.
It's that place on like 102nd and Stark with the big steak on out front.
I know that place. Laura and I always want to go there.
Every time they come in town, we go there.
I've never been there. It's just got a huge piece of steak out front that rotates on a side.
They have the 72-ounce steak.
Yeah.
There. It's really good.
Every time Laura and I drive by that place, we're like, we got to go there because the sign is just a huge piece of meat.
It's totally your thing. You would love it.
How could you resist? I can't, clearly. All right. You should go to Claim Jumper, though, because I want to know what it's like. I want to get a first-hand account.
It's out in the burbs.
You think of the Clackamas Town Center.
Oh, God, no.
That's not really the... I mean, it's sort of a downscale suburb.
There's so
suburb.
Much culture and so much good food in...
In Clackamas.
In Southeast. I'm just going to take them out over there somewhere.
Take them to a low-security prison. The Clackamas Town Center.
Totally. They just sort of throw everybody in there and shut the doors at 9.
I'm thinking I should make them take me somewhere fancy.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
I don't know. I'm not going to recommend, because then if it goes badly, then it's on me. I'm not going to step into that. I feel uncomfortable recommending a restaurant, because your restaurant recommendations, it's like when you recommend a movie you love to somebody and they watch it and hate it, and then you feel like your whole relationship has just been sullied. You feel like it just queers the whole thing if you're just like, come on, watch this movie, you'll love it, and then they never do, or did you ever do this? Do you ever give somebody a movie to watch because you think it's important, and then it sits on their TV for like 6 months? The DVD just sits there. Like Dave Zinn gave me Wet Hot American Summer.
You've never seen Wet Hot American Summer?
This is exactly what I'm talking about. And the DVD's been sitting on top of my VCR, or on top of my DVD player for like 4 months now. And I feel like an ass.
I cannot believe you have not seen that. I thought that you told me about that movie.
No, because I've never seen it.
Oh, see, that's why I was so stoked to meet Michael Ian Black in New York, because the movie that I knew him from.
All right.
There's a really hot boy-on-boy scene in there.
Fantastic. I'll go home and watch it tonight. Why wait till Lara's back? I'll just go home and make it an evening.
No, they're experimenting in the cabin.
Uh-huh.
It's lovely.
Okay. Go home with a bottle of Jameson.
It has Janine Garofalo in it.
Yeah. That's a big selling point.
Okay, I'm trying to think of something good.
Oh, I better leave now and go watch it.
There are boobs.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Are they good? In your estimation.
I don't remember. I just remember boobs.
All right, fantastic.
I'm sure that they're fine.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification. I hope your parents heard that. This is a boy-on-boy action and boobs. Well, the Girls Gone Wild video maker must report to jail today. If they don't get you there, they'll get you here. A VA hospital removes a patient's wrung testicle. Newt Gingrich apologized to Hispanic people in Spanish. Made cheerleaders are caught selling bogus magazine subscriptions door-to-door in Lake Oswego. And who could be so cruel? Somebody puts an ad in Craigslist inviting the general public to come on and take whatever you want from a Tacoma home. Without the knowledge of the homeowner, the publicly happily obliges.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Wonderful. I love this country. It's 503-733-2970. See, now we're just getting restaurant recommendations. Well, I'm not opposed to. I'm just saying I don't think I can recommend it. Just like, and although I know you were joking, this is why I would pass on having dinner with you and your parents. A, because that would just be weird. And B, because...
Oh, I'd totally take you out to dinner with my parents. They've met you. They know you're a freak.
I say something terrible.
Just like
mistake,
when, just like how I can't be around Lara because I say totally inappropriate things.
Because you get plastered and say, do they rig
me? I was not even plastered. I didn't even drink.
I bet you want to paddle up that girl over there on the other side of the room.
Yeah. See, if I can't even have a filter when I'm stone cold sober, that scares me.
No, you know, here's the thing, and I don't mean this the wrong way. Please don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, great.
I think Lara's just no longer, she just sort of accepts the fact that you're going to say things like that. I just don't think, you know what I mean?
I know, and we used to be friends. We used to exchange books and stuff, and now I don't see her anymore.
Well, that has nothing to do with you saying inappropriate things. It's just everybody's very busy. I'm just saying she understands that. She doesn't take it personally. She understands that your mouth doesn't really come equipped with a filter. And to be fair, I kind of... living with me is just sort of inured her to that. You know what I mean? She's just sort of immunized to the whole thing just because she's around me and all of my hideous observations all day long. So, there you go. I wouldn't worry about it. Okay. All right, let's see here. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Yeah, I was wondering, are you taking requests for things out of context to play that Sarah has said?
No.
I'd like to hear the thing about the bad girl vibe that I crave.
Oh, I've got the bad girl vibe that he craves.
and
I don't know if I...
And you could play off of the Kiss Animal Eyes, Heaven's on Fire, that being the only song that I think anybody could even stomach.
Oh, Heaven's on Fire is not a bad song. It's got terrible rhymes, though. Feel my heat taking you higher. Burn with me, Heaven's on Fire. Isn't that the song?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Heaven's on Fire.
Does that song have the Love's Like a Glove, Baby Fits So Right? Or am I confusing that with something else? Am I confusing? There's two terrible Kiss lyrics. Only two. There's one where he says, love's like a glove, baby, fits so right. And then there's that, love's like a muscle and you make me want to flex.
Yeah, I don't know that from the Heaven's on Fire.
No, that's from Let's Put the X in Sex, I think.
Nice. Hey, this entire business of the, bring back Chachi Arcola and the bandana thing.
Yes.
Is very reminiscent of the, when you're watching the VH1, like top 100 songs, videos,
right.
and whatnot. And they keep going, the headband close-up.
Right.
We'll let you know whose headband this is when we come back.
Totally. And it's always Mike Reno from Loverboy.
No, it was the other guy from Dire Straits.
Oh, Mark Knopfler, yeah.
Yeah.
And, the headband, here's the other thing about 80s music videos. The headband was always on a drummer, and the drummer was always, he was drumming really slowly on some working class Bob Seger-esque anthem, and he was sort of gritting, he was sort of closing his eyes real tightly and, like, gritting his teeth like he was feeling the passion in every line. Like he was feeling the truth in the lyrics.
But I think circulation to his brain was being cut off by that piece of very plastic.
I'm glad there are no photos of me wearing a bandana. So that's all I have to say about that. All right, thank you, Jeff.
Fabulous.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Feel my heat taking you higher. Burn with me. Heaven's on fire. That's all I have to say. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Steve?
Steve.
All right. And finally, Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Yeah, I was going to suggest if she wants to go to some place in Portland, the two best places that I know of are Bruce Chris Steakhouse or the City Grill at the top of the, I think it's one of the towers there.
Now, yeah, I've been to the Portland City Grill, but not Ruth's Chris.
Ruth's Chris is
I had a bowl of lima beans there once.
With Ruth's Chris is not bad. There's nothing wrong with that place at all. Here in Portland, we are blessed with some other steak places that are really good too. There's there's the, what is it, Ringler's? Is that what I'm thinking of? Martin's?
Is that
Martin's?
The one up on Burnside?
Is it Ringler's or the Ringside?
Am I
confusing? Because there's one in Seattle and there's one here. And I'm conflating or confusing the two of them. I don't even really know what that word conflating means, but I use it a lot recently.
Just making stuff up.
I think
El Gaucho's got really good food, too.
El Gaucho. Trey Yant was a big El Gaucho fan, too. Ruth's Chris is good. Here's what Ruth's Chris is great for. If you're in a city that you don't know all that well, and you really want steak or you want something, that is a little upscale that's good, where you know that you're not going to get steered wrong, Ruth's Chris is great. It's expensive, but it's great. And you know what you're going to get. You know it's going to be good. It doesn't have a lot of local flavor because it's a Ruth's Chris. It's pretty much a Ruth's Chris. But it is fantastic. And then, yeah, this is a great, just a real quick Ruth's Chris story. When we were at KOTK years ago, we decided to go out for a show dinner. And it was myself and Christina Carlson, who was on the show at that time. Her, is that nitwit husband of hers along? I think so. Her husband, and then my wife, and Bruce Agler, our program director. And then I'm like, and then Tim comes along, of course. So Tim is there. But at that point, I don't even really think I knew you were a vegan. I think it was only like 3 months into the show, and I don't even think I really was aware that you were a vegan. And so let's go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. What could possibly go wrong? And I just remember, Tim, it's the saddest thing. Tim,
everyone's eating for hours. Plate after plate after plate of meat. The only thing in the menu I could eat was lima beans.
With a huge bowl of that and a huge bowl of mushrooms. They brought you a huge bowl of mushrooms as well. And meanwhile, they're bringing us like a third of a cow that they basically have just killed and cooked in front of us at the table. And meanwhile, Tim's just got like a big bowl of mushroom caps. All right. Thank you, my friends.
Yeah.
That's Joe. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I have no time to give you this terrible news, so we'll do that around the corner. I've got terrible news from the kitchen. What else?
Well, from the kitchen?
From the kitchen, I have terrible news. It's something to counterbalance the Viso delivery that we got today. It's 503, because we got the... Do you want to know now? Oh, wait. I'm just saying, I have terrible news.
But I saw the kitchen. It has forks.
Yeah, well, there's forks.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. There's also bad news.
We better not be losing the microwave.
No.
Okay. Why don't you just tell us now?
Okay, well, here's the thing. There's good news and bad news. The good news is we got our Viso delivery today.
Okay.
We got 2 cases of Vigor and 2 cases of Will. So thank you to Alex and everybody at Viso. The bad news is, I can't even believe these words are leaving my mouth, they're discontinuing that chocolate Chex Mix, which they just introduced like 6 weeks ago, and which I am now addicted to. Thanks. Thanks for that. The guy today in the kitchen, he's the guy, the vending machine guy. And he's like, hey, I got bad news. I'm like, what? And he goes, I thought the bad news was going to be that he was just taking it back down to one row. Because, you know, there's 2 rows in the vending machine that have been dedicated to that. And he's like, no, they're discontinuing the chocolate Chex Mix. And I swear to God, I wish you'd seen it. It's been embarrassing as it was, sir. I wish you'd been there because I actually made this noise. The guy goes, yeah, they're discontinuing chocolate Chex Mix. And I really did like a, you know, kind of a, like a panicked inhalation of oxygen. And apparently the company doesn't feel it's working out, so they're getting rid of it. They're not discontinuing it here. They're not going to make it anymore. Think of all the millions of dollars in marketing and design and research and whatever, and the shipping that must have gone into that, and it's taking it off the market. And it's the greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
Well, then you better go to Plaid Pantry and stock up on the big bags. No, but you know what? That doesn't even last, because you had 3 of those big bags, and they were gone in a day.
I did. And I've eaten, there have been days here when I've eaten like 2 or 3 bags out of that machine in a row. So I'm just, the smart money says I should stock up, but that's not going to last. We all know that. All right, we have to break. It's Lisa Goddard around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. And let's point out that we're 37 minutes into the program and nobody has bothered to tell me whether or not Mark St. John is dead. That's how sad.
Oh, that is sad.
No one cares. The good news is, and if you hear that, I have been given this, Scotty has brought in for us today. This is a large phallic-shaped object. Is that a redundant statement? If something is phallic, is something phallic-shaped, is that a redundant statement? If it's phallic...
Or like ATM machine?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's a phallic object, is it then redundant? Just like, is the shaping of it sort of implied?
I think
or whatever.
So.
This is that hideous, I'm sorry, that cologne that he wears that smells just like Febreze.
What is it called, Rick?
It's called
Cuba.
It really does smell like Febreze.
Smell
it's
it?
Called Cuba Gold. This is, and I'm quoting now from the website for said cologne, it has ground up Orientals in it. I swear to God, that's what the website says. I don't know what that means. A hint of Febreze
that's
or not.
Pungent.
It's pungent. It stings the nostrils. in a good way. All right, it's 503.
Smell like it.
Scotty, I've got to tell you, that smells like pure gasoline. It's 503-7... I know I've just become that guy doing a bad movie quote, but what are you going to do? It's 503-733-2970. Just a short while, we'll continue with phone calls. Later on, we've got AM 970 News Maven, Tim Riley with the Ministry of Truth, Jim Root, Brian Blank, etc. But now, ladies and gentlemen, back to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Well, never mind. I was going to ask you if Febreze is a nationally known product. That's not a regional product. They sell Febreze in your neck of the woods, don't they?
Oh, indeed, they do.
If you were dating a man who suddenly started wearing a cologne that bore more than a passing olfactory resemblance to said Febreze product, I mean, would you point that out to him, or would you just let him persist in the belief that somehow he was wearing something fantastic?
If we were on good terms, I would certainly point that out.
You'd feel free to bring it up.
And I would want someone to point it out if it were me.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. You'd want. That's what friends do. Friends
sure.
make you aware of these things. Excellent.
That's right.
All right. Here's a question. Is actually, I guess, a dumb question, but is Obama for America, is that actually the official Barack Obama organization, or is that, that's not an independent group, right?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. That sounds like that could be his official campaign game, but I'm embarrassed to say I don't know.
In the wake of McCain-Feingold and all of these, you know, I am so unclear these days about who raises money, who can raise money, who
right.
keeps it, who can't. I don't even know how much, like you hear about all these people who've donated, you know, a huge pile of money. I'm really unclear about how much I can even donate to somebody now. Not that I'm apt to do it, but I don't even know who I can give money to and how much.
What's the deal anymore? All right, well, the deal is I'm sure you'll be excited to learn you can give $2,300 to each candidate, as many candidates as you like, really. So $2,300 for the whole election cycle for each individual.
How do they arrive at that figure, do you suppose? That seems a little odd.
Yeah, isn't that strange? It was $1,000, and then they changed the figure after McCain-Feingold and after they put in more limitations on special interest groups, and actually it was how many limits they could put on how much parties can donate, and how
right.
you donate through them. But, you know, there are many, many ways to get around those rules. But part of the deal was that they increased the individual limit to $2,300. I don't know why that number.
McCain-Feingold has been pretty much pointless, hasn't it? Because now all they do is they just form these alleged independent organizations, which presumably have no ties to any organized company or group, but which clearly do, sort of under the table. And that's, I mean, that was sort of like the Swift voting thing, right? I mean, those guys, clearly those guys, a bunch of yokels living in a shed somewhere, they weren't paying for all that stuff themselves, so the money was coming out of somewhere.
Right, but the good thing about those organizations is whenever there's a sketchy ad coming from one of them, as does happen,
yes.
Generally you can track down where they're coming from, because those organizations have to declare exactly who's funding them as well. Not exactly, but they have to have their representation and their everyone that's in charge of their organization declared on their forms.
So, Susan, so am I reading this right? That Barack Obama has raised $25 million from 100,000 people, and that's just in the first quarter of this year?
That was in 3 months. 3 months, people, he raised $25 million. How about that?
That is just, I mean, I don't even understand. I don't even really understand how you go about doing that. I mean, this may sound like a stupid question, but I mean, are these all people coming to him, or is this people he's going to? Do they? Is it something as simple as they like send out some mass mailing saying like, "Hey, this is Barack Obama. Please give me some money."
please do give me some money. No, it's a combination. By far, the larger amount comes from people that he has solicited money from: fundraisers, fancy dinners, big money, people that have given a lot of money each. Or many members of their family have given a lot of money. But what's interesting about Barack Obama is that I believe some $7 million of that came from the Internet. And a lot of the Internet money is in small contributions. So it's really something new here, that people who otherwise wouldn't be getting a mailing at their house asking for funding, but who may like Barack Obama or any other candidate, are just going to their website and contributing $20, $50, however much they want to, and Barack Obama really made some cash from that situation.
And that is the sort of the legacy of Howard Dean, right? I mean, for good or bad, whatever right. Howard Dean may or may not do in the future, is it fair to say that he's the guy that just once and forever changed how you raise money and how you get people agitated for your cause?
I think that's right. I think it was bound to happen, but I think he was the one who saw it first and who really catapulted it, really harnessed that power. But it certainly seems like something that was bound to happen, but he deserves credit for really getting that right from the beginning.
Is there anybody other than Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that we even need to be concerned with on the Democratic side of things? I mean, really, look, the only reason I ask is because I saw this, the first GOP debate they listed out there was like, I don't know, like 12 different guys that are going to show up. You know, and if your name isn't McCain or Giuliani right now, or quite possibly Thompson, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, don't forget Mitt Romney. He raised $21 million, yeah.
Or Mitt Romney, to be fair.
The Mormons. We brought up the Mormon money connection before.
On the in less polite circles, they refer to that as the Mormon Mafia. If you live, and I swear to God, this is true, if you live in Utah, which people in Utah refer to as living, this is true, they refer to it as living, quote, behind the Zion curtain, with a Z, because they do believe that they refer to Utah as the new Zion many times. But if you...
Would that be the new Zion, then?
Yes, I suppose it would.
The double news ion?
There's
I don't know. Anyway.
But on the Democratic side, you've got Barack Obama, and you've got Hillary Clinton, and then you got a whole bunch of people that probably are just going to end up bowing out of this over the next whenever. So when are you going to start to see people falling away?
Dropping out.
And when are you going to start seeing it ramp up to, you know, the few serious contenders? What timeline? Because it already seems like it is so accelerated, and it is telescoped out, and it has started so much earlier than it ever has before.
I think by August, you're going to really see some people falling to the wayside. You'll just be walking around Portland, seeing Bill Richardson, some other Democratic candidates. Although, I will say, I think Bill Richardson and John Edwards are two Democratic candidates you should still watch. They're kind of sleeper candidates. John Edwards, of course, I think is doing much better than people realize, I think, because of the attention he and his wife have gotten. I think that was a lot of very positive attention. And I think that's going to help him out. In fact, he's now tied for first, I believe, in Iowa with Hillary Clinton. And that's very big for him. So keep an eye on John Edwards. He's serious. He's a very serious contender still. Bill Richardson's my favorite sleeper candidate, though.
You know,
I think he's got a lot to offer.
The great thing about John Edwards, and I don't mean this as a knock on him, but John Edwards doesn't seem like a guy who could be president to me. He doesn't seem to have the bearing of a president and the sort of personal tenor of a president, and that is the kind of thing that I think matters to Americans, but he does seem like a great vice president. Because the vice president, I think Bill Maher made this observation, that when you vote for a president, you're sort of voting for a national dad, in a way, and John Edwards just sort of seems like your cool uncle. You know what I mean?
Or brother, your big brother.
But I think he would make a fantastic vice presidential candidate. When are we going to start seeing the first TV ads hit the airwaves? How far out are those?
Some of them have already been hitting the airwaves. We've seen Duncan Hunter from California already put out ads, I think, in Iowa and somewhere throughout the Midwest. Apparently Mitt Romney has some ads that he ran a few months ago. So those are already out there. I mean, this campaign is nuts. And I think that this is how it's going to be for the next couple of cycles, at least.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm just going to tell you right now, I think the Rick Emerson Show, we're just going to raise money from the audience, and we're going to give it to whatever candidate we think is going to cause the most disruption to the American way of life. Really, whoever we decide is just going to cause the most trouble for this country, that's who we're going to give our money to.
You've got a lot of options on that one.
It's true. It's what we do. All right, I'm going to let you go, sister. We'll talk to you soon. Lisa Goddard. All right, fantastic. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill, CNN, blah, 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 blah. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Emails.
Oh, crisp CNN paper.
This is the Atomic Wedgie. I don't even really know what an Atomic Wedgie is.
The Atomic Wedgie?
Sounds like a band, doesn't
Isn't
it?
Isn't that when the underwear rips?
I don't know. See,
when you pull it over the head?
You can't do that. That's
I
a
think
thing,
you can.
That's a thing that you always hear referenced, but you can't really...
Maybe we should try with Scotty J.
Yeah. How could that possibly go wrong? His testicles were blackened and then fell away. I don't think... That's one of those things you hear referenced, but I don't think that's actually physical, unless you have some sort of springy, spongy style underwear. Let me just ask you this. Can I just horrify you for a second?
No.
What kind of underwear do you think Scotty J wears?
Oh, he's totally
I wonder if we're picturing the same thing, because I'm picturing something.
But tighty whities?
No.
I can picture him with, like, tighty white underwear, but, like, navy blue.
See, that's what I'm saying. For me, it's like the, like...
Or maybe the man panties? like the band, half
the brief boxers?
Yeah.
The boxers? I hate those. I hate those things. It's like if you're going to wear, first of all, why would you wear anything but boxers? Boxers are clearly the way to go. Are you, at the risk of just becoming just completely.
Remember my parents are in town.
I'm just saying. I don't understand the whole thing about wearing like the and I hate that phrase tidy whities. God, that's just.
I love tidy whities.
It's a horrifying man panties is fine because it's kind of funny. The tidy whitey thing is like panties. It's an awkward sounding phrase.
You don't like panties, but you like man panties.
No, I don't. Yes, I love man panties. I can't get enough of them. Bring them on. I want those all day, 24/7.
I smell my hand and I made everyone else my hand.
Fantastic. Thank you. I just don't understand. It just seems like boxers are really the only logical way to go. And it seems like you're straddling some middle ground where you have those boxer briefs. Here's the only thing I can say about boxer briefs, and I've never worn them, but it does seem from my estimation that there's less chance of bunching or any sort of unpleasant chafing. Seems like, yeah, they're not gonna bunch up on you there because they sort of stay secure. The thing about boxer briefs is they're a lot like Mormon undergarments. You know, those like the Jesus garments they have to wear? They're sort of similar to those in a way. Because those in turn are sort of like, they're sort of like long johns. Anywho.
Why are you talking about Scotty J's underwear?
I don't know the answer to that, Sarah. I think maybe it's because of that photo of him with the Photoshop.
Maybe that's why I'm thinking, because he's wearing maroon
underwear. What's that
thing?
Not a tamale. What's that thing on his head?
Sombrero?
I'm starting again.
The tamale.
That I'm picturing him in like...
Scotty J's tamale.
In like tight briefs, but like a maroon color. So, anyway, I don't think you can really give the atomic wedgie where it rips and goes over your... or where it goes over your head. That's a thing that is referenced a lot in pop culture, but I don't believe that's... I don't believe that's possible. Anyway, this female says, two Georgia teenagers were recently arrested in connection with what one student's mother said was a... hazing ritual. The woman said members of the Charlton County High School golf team, you'd figure the golf team would be the last one you'd have to worry about getting into somebody's underwear. The golf team gave her son a contusion so painful she had to take her 13-year-old to the emergency room. She said the prank has made her son afraid to go back to school. Speaking of golf, I should note that we called CNN today. They were just all agog that we didn't want anybody to talk about the Masters today. And it was all like, book your live shots for the Masters now. First come, first serve. She said that her son was given, quote, an atomic wedgie, end quote. It was a sports initiation that Carol said is frequently giving to younger players. Oh, and the thing where also punching him in the groin and stomach.
Oh.
Golf players. You wouldn't really expect that from them. They beat her son severely. Imagine being beaten by a golf team. That's got to be a good feeling.
That's kind of sad.
Beaten senseless by a bunch of guys who spend their days hitting balls with crooked sticks. This is Paul. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
Sarah was talking about taking your folks out to dinner tonight.
Yes.
And she's referring to Sailor's Country Kitchen. That's the one that's out there, 105th and Stark.
Is that the one with the big rotating piece of meat out front on the sign?
It's been out there since VJ Day. It's been there for a long time.
All right. Now, is it good?
Oh, it's excellent. And what I'm going to tell you is that we had a family gathering a few months ago, and my brother-in-law's son-in-law actually took the 72-ounce challenge and created it. He did it in like 35 minutes.
Now, is this Sailor's? This is not a paid plug, but is this Sailor's place? So this is what is this the deal where if they bring you the 72-ounce steak, and that is in fact how many pounds? There's 16 ounces in a pound.
6 pounds.
6 pounds? And so what is it? If you eat the whole thing, it's free?
Yeah, you eat that plus the trimming.
Plus the
drink. And the salad and the drink. And you got to finish it in about an hour.
Now, what is the cost of the meal?
If you don't finish it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I think it's somewhere around about $70.
I think so, too.
Jesus Christ, really? Yeah. What percentage of people finish it?
Well, they have it on a board out there. They have the Wall of Fame, and they even tell you how many women and how many men have done it. So if you do it, they take your picture, they put you on the Board of Fame, and you get a certificate and all that stuff. But,
and you're not allowed to, I imagine you're not allowed to hurl.
No.
You can't hurl.
Yeah. And the thing is that my brother-in-law, son-in-law, he came from North Dakota, and the guy is a beanpole. I couldn't believe this.
Sure.
He, you know, don't you hate these people? They go ahead and they put this six pounds of meat and all the other stuff, and he left the place, and nothing happens to him. He even had dessert afterwards, and he just looks the same.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's always it's like that Kobayashi guy who eats all those hot dogs.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It's never a big guy. It's always a thin guy that can do that.
Farm boy from North Dakota.
Let me ask you this, and I don't mean to be disgusting. Now, when they bring you this 72-ounce steak and all the trimmings ready to get it, now is there a... There's no other way to put this. What about the fat and gristle?
It's pretty well trimmed out already.
Because they can't...
It's a top sirloin, so there isn't that much fat and gristle to begin with.
Because I'm just imagining, and I know that we're almost at the lunch hour, but there ought to be some sort of sounder, like a klaxon we play when we're entering the lunch hour. But I'm just imagining you put down 6 pounds of meat, and then all of the trimmings... And then it's just like, what is that movie, The Great Outdoors, where the guy comes back and he's like, you haven't finished the gristle. And he's trying to put down a big mouthful of fat. I mean, just, you want to talk about a thing, you'd just be painting your shoes.
My sister-in-law was actually helped by cutting it up a little bit so we wouldn't have to spend so much time carving out the thing. I kept thinking, well, why is she helping him? Well, I realized why she wants to help him. If he makes it, then she doesn't have to pay the bill.
Yeah, absolutely. $7. Okay. It's like, there used to be this, thank you, that's Paul. God bless you, sir. Thank you. That's Paul. So your parents are here just tonight?
Yes, just tonight. Well, they've been staying in, they have their timeshare thing, and they had to use it before a certain time, so they're staying up in near Mount Hood. And so they're coming into town today.
You know,
hopefully to take me shopping for my new apartment.
Here's the thing, and I don't wish to. Now I know that the AEs are up there screaming that I had understood to be referred to the list of clients, telling your parents to go eat wherever. But I'm just saying this. So true point. Now you know where anybody who comes to visit from out of town, any out of town people that come to visit Laura and I, we take them to Salvador Molly's.
I like that place.
That's
I don't know if I'm in the mood
place.
For Salvador Molly's.
It's fine. It's not for every occasion, especially on Tuesdays, I think. Well, not a Tuesday, but on Tuesdays, I think it's like they have like a Cuban band or something. Mm. You don't want to go on. It's like Ricky Ricardo and his Nitwit friends in there. You don't want to do that. But that's where that is our go-to restaurant whenever anybody visits us from out of town. It's like the competitive eating thing. It's like there used to be a bar in Idaho that I had gone to a few times. And the deal there was... That I think, I'm trying to remember what the deal was, that it was like you ordered your meal, and then they brought over, the upshot of it was, they had a snake in a tank. They had an aquarium with a rattlesnake in it. And I forget exactly what it was that you had to do if you lost. Maybe it was just that you were horrified. But the deal was, they would bring this rattlesnake in an aquarium over to you. And it was like, not going to get out. It was like thick glass. I mean, there's no way the snake could touch you in any way. But the deal was, you had to put your hands on either side of the aquarium, and you had to put your nose had to be pressed against the glass. And it was not a large aquarium. It was a fairly small aquarium. But it was like a hands on a hard body thing. You had to put your hands on either side, and you had to put your nose to the glass. And then there was like some little thing, like a little bell that they would ring or something, and the snake would like strike at your face. And it's like, and you had to hold on to the aquarium. And the snake would just totally strike at the glass right at your face. And the deal is, if you kept your nose and your hands on the aquarium, then the meal was free. But of course, nobody ever did it. I don't think anybody ever did it in the history of the bar.
Oh, man.
It was just the most disturbing thing ever. Let's see. It's Brandon Riffick here. Let's get Brandon number one. Hello there.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Sarah, before you consider taking your parents to Sailor's Country Kitchen, you might want to look. I think there was a shooting there about 4 days ago.
Fantastic.
like actually either just out front of the restaurant or actually inside. I'm not actually sure which it was.
Wow, crap.
An experience local color. Fantastic. See how it is relatable Thursday. So see, we're discussing happenings
in the
community.
The reason I want to go to Sailor's is because it's out near Target, and then maybe I can persuade my parents to go and hang out there with me.
You really are all class, Sarah.
Well,
no! Because they have some, like, I'm just trying to get them to buy me things.
But
you just tell them you're going to take them for dinner on a show, though, you see, and that would be welcome to Portland.
Yeah, seriously. Yes.
There's a shooting.
All right, fantastic. Don't mind the blackening pool of blood as you step over the threshold. All right, thank you, Brandon.
No problem.
Brandon! Let's see, Brandon number two. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, about Atomic Wedgie.
Yes, the Atomic Wedgie. Fact or fiction, sir?
Actually, fact. My son-in-law last year was the recipient of Atomic Wedgie.
Now, what is your understanding of the Atomic Wedgie? How do you define that?
Well, getting behind somebody and pulling really hard on the underwear, just as hard as you can to lift the boy off the ground.
Now, how does that differ from a conventional wedgie?
I think the difference is that a conventional wedgie, you don't actually lift the boy off the ground.
So you think an atomic wedgie, it's all about whether their feet leave the surface of the Earth.
Oh.
Yes, exactly.
Fine. Okay, excellent. And so did he sustain some sort of injury?
Yes, he did.
Would you like to, in a radio-friendly way, describe what the injury was, sir?
Well, unbeknownst to anybody, he had a certain medical condition with his testicle.
Before or after?
Well, kind of before, kind of a genetic thing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it was naturally semi not attached to the wall.
Oh.
So, he came home, and he was a little bit pained, and then it got worse, and then he was doubled over, took him to the hospital, found out that it was all twisted, and it was cutting off circulation.
Yeah.
And that was kind of emergency surgery.
How did this end?
Well, a couple hours later, he had emergency surgery. A certain well-liked boy had to be suspended for a week.
But they didn't have to remove it.
No, it was actually really touch and go that he was going to...
Because you'd feel bad about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing that's not forgiven.
No. You know, they have to be replaced with a rubber...
Yeah, seriously. I'm sorry. You're going to have to just have this silicone knob inside your sack. All right. All right. Well, thank you. And I guess the more you know, knowing is half the battle. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
That's Brandon. Take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. Around the corner, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Brian Blank, Jim Roop. And so forth. You say that it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.